Hello, friends and folks, and welcome to Romance of the Two Networks. We're here, we're reading the Iliad of China. That's what it says on the cover.
Oh, I'm Six Step Mom. Yes, it does say that on the cover. And you're right, because I went, but I do that. I say that when I look at the cover, so. I'm Jackson Tyler from Enorme Epic. I don't have an opinion on that, really, because I haven't read the Iliad, so that's someone who has can write in with their take.
I've read the Iliad.
How does it compare to the Iliad?
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. I want to let Jen.
Yeah. So I risked of your intro.
It's all good. I'm Jennifer Uncle from Scanline Media, and I read passages of the Iliad for high school and college, but I'd never really read the whole thing.
See, here's the thing. I could tell you what I thought about the Iliad, but that doesn't fucking matter. I'm just a podcaster. I'm not here to provide you with opinions. I'm here to provide you with facts. So I went to Goodreads. And on Goodreads, the Iliad is rated as a 3.8. And this is rated, and the Three Kingdoms is rated as a 4.4. So obviously the Iliad fucking sucks.
I mean, does the Iliad have a successful video game series based on it? Two, in fact.
I think so, yeah.
What's the Iliad game? What's the Iliad game that everyone's like?
God of War and God of War 2.
Okay. Walked right into that one, didn't I? I guess there are enough. I guess you're right. I guess there are like generic Greek pantheon games.
I thought you were gonna say Assassin's Creed Odyssey or something.
No, I wanted to go more of a like a gremlin answer than that. And the other thing I can note is that what would reading the Iliad prepare you for? If you read Three Kingdoms, you'll be fully prepared for the Beijing Olympics. All the cultural context.
We can't reference a thing that we just read 2 seconds before you started the podcast. You were looking at the Goodreads reviews, and someone noted in their Goodreads review that they had read Three Kingdoms to prepare for the Beijing Olympics. And I was just like, uh-huh. Yeah? What?
Yeah. This is a good one. It's like reading the Iliad, Le Mort d'Arthur, and War and Peace all rolled into one with a Chinese sauce.
Oh no,
that's Chinese sauce? That's racist? That's,
we gotta shut this down.
That's a bit of racism. I'm here to declare that racist. Like, what are you doing? Oh, Goodreads. Goodreads. I think I mentioned this last week. I am reading ahead. I'll be done hopefully with Three Kingdoms next week. Hopefully, knock on wood. So I will be able to brave the online, because everyone else is kind of not necessarily looking that far afield. But I'll be able to brave even further to find some incredible content online. when I know the truth of what's gonna happen, which I don't yet.
Oh man. Okay, no, I can't. Goodreads has trivia questions.
We should save these for next week, because one, because Em will be back, and two, yeah. I'll be done. Like, I can read them out to everyone else.
Okay. Yeah, I need to not.
This is a segment that should probably be sat on, but we can do this later in the podcast, because right now what we're doing is looking at a website and going, I can't say that, which is not not great podcasting.
Where to buy this in Egypt?
You know what? That is a great question. If you live in Egypt, that is a question I would ask.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I just don't know if you're going to find your answer on Goodreads, I'm afraid.
I don't know what you're going to find on Goodreads.
That's a very good point. This week, we read chapters 16, 17, and 18 of Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Yes, we did.
We're starting off here with chapter 16, because that's how numbers work. And we're talking about Lu Bu demonstrates his marksmanship before his camp, and Cao Cao what happened to my mouth there? Cao Cao suffers defeat at the River Yu.
Yeah. The first section of this chapter is, it's time for Lu Bu to get into that diplomacy game.
Yeah. So as we ended, we had our last read on. Was someone being like, hey, I've got a plan to kill Xuanda. And he does. That's true. He did. It's a fairly accurate read on, because he's like, listen, here's the idea. Shwanda and Lubu are buds. What if we asked Lubu not to be buds with Shwanda?
You know what?
Okay.
Basic plan, doesn't have many details, but as a like outline, that is a good idea.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, and after we beat Shwanda, we can just go turn and kill Lubu, right? Like, no problem.
What's the worst that could happen?
And Lubu is like, okay, sure, I'm on board. Obviously not hearing the second part of that plan. And Yuan Shu sends his armies. And Shwanda sees that Yuan Shu is heading, you know, some forces against him, and he sends a letter to Lubu, and he's like, hey, you know, we're buds, you know, like, I, you know, I helped you, and you were so kind to me, and oh, we're like brothers, and maybe you could help me out here. And Lubu's like, well, of course I'm gonna help my brother in need. I, like, also, there's the whole thing where if I help Yuan Shu here, then he's just gonna kill me afterwards. Like, obviously that's how this goes. What? And so he sends some forces to reinforce him, and then Ji Ling, the general of Yuan Shu, is like, hey, we paid you to help us? You can't just play both sides here. And he's like, ah, well, actually, I am playing no one's side. I'm going to follow in the footsteps of my adopted father. No, not the other one. The one that I killed. No, not that one. Sorry, I should have specified. Dong Zhuo. And I'm going to hold a party where we can work this out.
Yeah, he does the thing that you see in romantic comedies where the friend brings the two sides together who don't want to see each other without telling them what's going on.
I was going to say he is involved in a Twitter beef and the only solution is to bring everyone on his podcast.
Man, I've never done that. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
It's a terrible way to solve a problem, but... he invites them both over, and he's like, hey, Shwanda, I'm super being, like, really cool right now, so, like, in the future, remember this, all right? And then he's like, so, I have seen, you're both here, and I've got a solution to your problem, and Ji Ling is like, so you're gonna kill me? And he's like, no. And he's like, okay, so you're gonna kill the big-eared one, is his line. He's like, no, we're brothers. And he's like, okay, so you're gonna kill me? Like, wait, no, listen, I'm not going to kill either of you. I have always preferred peaceful solutions and hate fighting.
That's Lubu.
And he's like, so we're going to have heaven decide your quarrel. Ji Ling and Zhang Fei are like, no, we'd rather just fight.
So Lubu brings out his party trick where he takes his halberd, plants it 150 paces away from where everyone is standing. And he's like, okay, so I'm going to stand over here. And if I'm able to hit the small end of my blade with an arrow in one shot, you both have to call this off. If I miss, you can keep fighting. And if you don't agree to this, I will side with whoever. I will side with the person who is up for it. And so, of course, everyone's like, well, he can't do that, but he ends up doing it. And Wan Shu's just, Ji Ling's just kind of like, oh shit, why did I agree to this?
Yeah, he's like, listen, I said I'd agree with this, and I will, but like, Yuan Shu's never gonna believe this happened, he's just gonna fucking kill me.
Yeah, it should be noted that Zhuanda this entire time is definitely like, you can do it, Lubu. I want, you can end war with one arrow. He's very excited about this plan. Yeah.
And Lubu's like, oh, that's okay. I'll just write you a permission slip. I'll write my doctor's note about what happened, and you can take this back to Yuan Shu, and everything will be okay.
Yuan Shu is like, yo, that's just a party trick. What did you do? Like, are you serious? Are you serious? We had to stop the war because of this. Are you shitting me right now?
No, sir, my lord, I have a letter from Lubu that says he's on the level. You can trust Lubu. And so, Yuan Shu is like, I'm gonna fucking go kill both of them. Fuck these idiots. And, Ji Ling is like, listen, I don't think we'd win that. Here's a new plan. Let's have a wedding.
Yeah. Always a good plan, to arrange an alliance by marriage.
Yeah. And this is like, this is the most, like, hot alliance by marriage, which is like, instead of killing this person and his friend, how about we, like, have them have, you know, marry the daughter of one of them so that we can, like, the next day kill his friend? And Yuan Shu's like, okay, that makes sense. And yeah, it's like, you know, strangers never come before relatives, so this will definitely work. They send a messenger, Han Yin, to Lu Bu, and he's like, listen, my master has always been a fan of yours. really would love to have his son marry your daughter and, you know, bind the houses together in marriage and loyalty. And Lubu's like, sure, of course. Of course you're my fan. Do you want an autograph? Yes, we can totally do this.
Meanwhile, Chen Gong catches on. But he tells the messenger, just so we're clear, I'm pretty cool with this plan. And he proceeds to go to Lu Bu and be like, okay, so we have this wedding, right? I think we should maybe do it a little bit sooner. And Lu Bu keeps going like, oh, okay, you mean 8 months? No, sooner than that. 6 months? No, even sooner than that. And Lu Bu gets increasingly angry because he thinks that he's buried... arranged marriage is being treated like a peasant's marriage. And Chen Gong's whole thing is like, well, he actually comes up with a good excuse here, right? He's like, well, people are constantly killing each other right now, so if you put out a date into the future, someone's just gonna camp that wedding, so you might as well just send her out right now. And just before anyone else hears about this, just send your daughter right away.
He is right that wedding will be just camped the second he announces the date.
Yeah, no, it's honestly, it's because he up to that point, his arguments are pretty bad. He's like, oh no, we can't possibly do that. He just keeps saying no. He doesn't even have arguments most of the time. He's like, okay, well, how about one season? He's like, nah. And then he busts out this honestly very good argument, and Nubu's like, okay, sure, that makes sense. And he starts sending his daughter and the little escorts off, and Chen Deng sees this going down and just immediately like snaps his fingers, goes, oh, the old family before strangers, fuck. The classic. And he goes to see Lu Bu, and Lu Bu's like, oh, you know, honorable sir, what brings you to me? And Chen Gui's like, oh, I just came to be like, sorry, you're gonna die. And Lu Bu's like, the fuck are you talking about? And Chen Gui sort of lays it out. He's like, okay, so Yuan Shu tried to get you to kill Xuanda, and you stopped him, and now he's trying to have you get married. Do you know what 1 + 2 equals?
And yeah, and Lubu's like, fuck, shit, oh no, oh god, you're right about that one. I like all this stuff with Lubu because his version of the like diplomacy trick plan to avert the war is just kind of a more extreme version of how he fights anyway, which is to not think about anything and just, I'm just gonna go forth and kill everyone because I'm just that cool. I'll just hit this arrow because I'm just able to do that. And then suddenly someone's like, okay, what if we used something called a plan? And Lu Bu just completely blindsided.
I love, it's like Lu Bu is like playing chess, and his idea of like thinking three moves ahead is like thinking at the end of the turn he is currently making. He's like, if I move my pawn, then it will have been moved. You're like, yes, Lupu, that's how that works. So he's like, wait, Chen Gong was giving me bad advice? And he runs and he overtakes the carriage and forces it back. And meanwhile, Yuan Shu is just sort of sitting there, like hands folded, like, I'm running a little late. and Lupu's like, okay, great. Now what do we do? And then he gets word that Xuanda is you know, recruiting a bunch of troops and you know, buying horses. And he's like, okay, that's what generals do? Like, yeah. And his officer's like, no, you don't understand. Zhang Fei pretended to be a bandit and stole our horses. And he's like, okay, you said buying? That's different. And so he goes to go see him, and Xuanda's like, what the hell is going on? And he brings the forces out, and he's like, hey, what's going on? And Lubu's like, listen, I fucking saved your ass with my sick party tricks, and now you're out here stealing my horses. And Xuanda's like, I mean, I'm low on horses, but I bought some. I don't know what you're talking about. And Zhang Fei's like, no, boss, actually has super stole those horses.
yeah, he's like, no, that was me. That was me. I stole all those fucking horses.
And finally, Lu Bu is drawn into going rounds with Zhang Fei. They go 100 rounds before Xuanda's like, let's cool it off for a moment. Let's stop this for now.
Yeah. And so they both retreat, and back inside town, Xuanda's like, Zhang Fei, what the fuck, man? and he's like, where'd you put those horses? He's like, no, open your mouth. What have you got in there? What horses? Spit out the horses, Zhang Fei. And he gives the horses back. And Lu Bu's like, okay, great. I've got my horses back. We're good. And then Chen Gong's like, I mean, you should kill him. And so Lu Bu's like, oh, okay. Got it. So Xuanda is in a tight situation, and he gets the advice from Sun Quan, Cao Cao's worst enemy is Lu Bu. Let's go to the capital and ask Cao Cao for help. They ride off. And they make it to the capital, and Cao Cao's like, oh, Xuanda and I are bros. That's great. Come on in. He's like, oh, you're having trouble with Lu Bu? Man, fuck that guy. All right, this is great. And Xuanda's like, okay, great. And he goes and you know, like, they have a quick feast, and then they settle down for the night. And then Shun Wenro comes to him and is like, you should probably kill Xuanda. And Cao Cao's like, should I? And one of his other advisors is like, I mean, no. No. He's, like, an honorable hero, and if we kill him, everybody's gonna think that we're a villain, and he hasn't done anything against us. Why would we kill him?
The classic dilemma of, okay, this guy is a problem and will absolutely at some point be doing extreme war with us. But also, if we murdered him right now, we will look real. It'll just look real bad. There's no honor in that. It'll be terrible. What do we do? And Sasa's like, no, I'm not that bad. Xuanda can come in. Xuanda can hang.
I had to end a Total War Three Kingdoms run, in fact, because I was playing as the Bandit Queen. Yeah. And, you know, you think that you're like, oh, I'm the Bandit Queen. I know how much people hate me, right? And then I won a battle against Xuanda and I executed him. And boy, people were real mad about that.
Do not do that. That's a bad move.
They were really pissed. It went bad for me. I was like, I've been like max hate anyway. What's the worst that can? No. I am not. No.
Sasa knows what's up. Sasa knows that you don't just randomly execute Xuanda without cause.
But then there is also the other bit of advice that he gets that is spot on, which is Chen Yu being like, but also Shuanda is the most fickle motherfucker in the world, so eventually you're gonna have to deal with him because he's just gonna leave.
I really like the Shuanda and Lu Bu stuff here because they're the same, they are functionally the same, like the story, and the story definitely knows it, right? Like, they're both the characters in this story who can't like serve the same master for more than 5 minutes before switching to a different side, but Zhuanda's like actually has principles, and Lu Bu just doesn't have a brain.
He's the biggest moron. It's wonderful,
And it's good. I like the parallel there because it's just good. It's good. I like all this early Zhuanda stuff.
So there's another bit of a spout with Shang-Chi, and so Cao Cao goes to deal with another problem. He fights Shang Xu, which is the emperor of Shang-Chi, or not the emperor, the nephew, yes, of Shang-Chi, because Shang-Chi got killed in a previous battle. They you know, capture them, they force them to retreat. And one of the advisors of Shang-Chi, Xia Chu, is like, listen, I really think we should surrender here. And Cao Cao is like, you're a smart guy. You want to work for me? And Xia Chu is like, I kind of can't. Like, I used to work. You remember that guy? Yeah, this is just a little thing. You remember that guy who kidnapped the emperor? I used to work for him, and I'm honestly really grateful that anyone listens to me at all anymore and doesn't just try to kill me, so I kind of can't give that up. And Cao Cao's like, I guess that's fair.
So this next bit is the part where I realize it's the first clear indication of bits that were cut out of the truncated version of this, the abridged version, because...
Yes, I'm really curious about that.
Yeah, the whole bit with Cao Cao looking for a courtesan and basically taking the widow of Zhang Xu's uncle as his own concubine, basically. None of that happens in the abridged version, as far as I'm aware.
Just cut. Just straight up cut.
I mean, I guess it is kind of an isolated incident, so that makes a kind of sense. But then does that mean you cut out the fate of Dian Wei?
You have to.
Yeah, I got
that's,
it.
That's criminal.
That's why we did these massive books.
Yeah. So yeah. He does that, and Shang-Chi finds out and is understandably pissed. And he's like, listen, we're gonna pretend everything's fine and then we're gonna ambush him. So they get Dian Wei, like, just like fall down drunk, and then they set fire to his encampment, and Cao Cao's like, listen, it's just an accident. Fires happen all the time. And then like the next second the rest of the city lights on fire. He's like, okay, I was wrong. And Dian Wei, just drunk out of his mind, grabs his halberds and runs to the front gate to pull off the defense. And, no armor, just a dude in his underwear with two halberds, holds the gate, and he dies for it.
Yeah, at some point he loses his halberds and kills 8 or 9 with his bare hands alone. Just taking people and smashing them together.
yeah, wielding enemies as weapons. And then even after he dies, he dies like roaring a battle cry and then falling to the ground. And everyone is like, "I'm not going through that fucking gate. Are you crazy?" which buys Cao Cao time to escape. And also in the process, his great horse also dies. And Cao Anmin, who I assume is a relative.
Yep.
So.
This stuff's really good. Yeah. This big gate escape is very good. Sometimes this book just gets really extra with its just descriptions of violence. There's one of those coming up in the last chapter today.
Oh man.
But the stuff with Dian Wei is definitely another one. He's a very just a very cool death.
Mm-hmm. And so as he's running, he's like someone tells him that Yu Jin is part of the betrayal against him. And so he writes to go meet him, and Eugene's like, and one of his advisors is like, "Hey, you should go tell him that you didn't actually betray him." And he's like, "Fuck no, he'd just kill me." Like, I'm gonna dig in, and maybe I can explain things after we have a stalemate or something. And yeah, he does that, and Sasso's like, "Hey, why didn't you just come explain yourself?" And Yujin's like, "You would have killed me." And Sasso's like, "Yeah, that's true."
he's specifically like, "Oh, that's genius. I'm going to give you a bunch of stuff now."
Damn, you're so smart, not trusting me? What a good commander. Yeah, it gives him some gold and promotes him. And then he criticizes his friend Zha Haodun because Zha Haodun's army was
useless.
Doing some useless shit, doing some pillaging, not being particularly useful. And then he performs a sacrifice in honor of Dian Wei.
Me too. He's like, me too. Press F. Like,
right? And he has the correct response here, which is like, "It's a bummer that I lost my son and my nephew, but damn, Dian Wei though."
Same. Fucking same.
Correct. And everybody's like, "Damn, this guy's a real one." And so they ride back to the capital. We get some more appointments of people for doing good jobs for Cao Cao. And then a messenger from Yuan Shu goes to Lu Bu, and he's like, "Listen, there was a bit of a mess, I understand, but Yuan Shu's gonna be emperor in a minute here. You gotta deliver the girl."
It's worth pointing out by now, Lu Bu and Xuanda have already made peace with Cao Cao, basically acting as the moderator with that. Lu Bu's gotten a good position, and immediately after he gets that position, in comes the messenger from Yuan Shu being like, "Yeah, so you better bow down to someone who will be emperor very, very soon."
And then, again, classic Lu Bu fashion, the way he is appeased is someone giving him a present and saying, like, "Oh man, I'm such a fan." And Lu Bu's like, "Of course you are! All right."
This is exactly how Cao Cao appeased him 4 pages earlier.
That's how everybody appeases Lu Bu. You just talk about how you're like, "Listen, we've got our differences, but I think you're cool." And so, Yuan Shu is really incised by this. He gets his envoys killed. And Cao Cao's like, "Oh, fantastic. This is great. Let's encourage them to fight." And then Chen Deng, who is one of Lu Bu's advisors, goes to Cao Cao and is like, "Listen, Lu Bu's a fucking dumbass. it's good that he's on your side right now, but really you should kill him soon. He's so fickle." And Cao Cao's like, "No, trust me. I fucking know. If you deal with him for 5 minutes, you know that about Lu Bu."
"Oh, you think this is news to me? I'm aware. I'm not going to kill him right now, but I had considered this. Thank you."
And Chen Deng's like, "Okay, great. I'm going to go back to Lu Bu, but if you ever need me to fuck him over, just say hi." he gets a promotion and some money for that. And he goes back, and Lu Bu's like, "You motherfucker, you let Cao Cao buy you out. How am I supposed to trust you?" And Chen Deng's like, no, listen, he just thinks you're a shithead." and Lu Bu's like, "Oh, he knows me so well. Okay."
It's like, "He's just doing this because, you know, he knows that you'll just take the money because he's worried about you." And he's like, "Ah, yeah, that's true."
He wants to keep you hungry because there's like 4 or 5 other people trying to get the throne right now. And you're at your best when you're fighting them, aren't you?
Tossing his sword aside, Lu Bu laughed and said, "Cao Cao knows me so well." Fucking idiot. But then Yuan Shu invades, and Lu Bu's like, "Wait, shit, I forgot about him." And so we get to chapter 17. Yuan Shu fields 7 armies. Cao Cao joins forces with the 3 generals.
This chapter is much shorter than the first one. The first one is like very long for one of these chapters. A lot happens. Multiple alliances switch like multiple times. Lu Bu and Yuan Shu switch sides just over and over. There's the whole Cao Cao stuff, but there's a lot going on. Chapter 17 and 18 are a little more simple.
Mm-hmm. So chapter 17 starts. Did we get a read on? Yeah, we did. Sorry.
No, yes. We didn't say it.
Lu Bu was facing many dangers. Could he survive them? Read on.
We shall see.
There's a lot of book left. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
So Yuan Shu's like, "Listen, I've got money. I've got a lot of land. And I've got this fancy royal seal. I'm the guy now." "Now hear this. I am the guy."
Good luck, Yuan Shu. Yuan Shu.
Yeah, so he goes around. He gets his, you know, he sends out the decrees. He does the whole imperial rituals and everything. He gets himself a nice dragon and phoenix carriage. So appoints crown princes. And then he finds out that Lu Bu had already had his envoy killed. And he's like, "Oh, this ain't gonna fly." And he sends his 7 armies.
"You come to me on my own, on the day of my own imperial usurpation, and you kill my envoy."
It's not a good look. It's not a good look. Or it's a great look. I guess it kind of depends on how you look at it. So he sends his armies out, and Lu Bu is like, "Okay, this is a bit of a problem." And Chen Gong's like, "Listen, this happened because Chen Gui and Chen Deng fucking were trying to get the court's favor over trying to help you out. Let's send their heads to Yuan Shu and they'll peace out of here." And Chen Deng's like, "Are you kidding? You're scared of these guys? They fucking suck." He's like, "It's 7 armies. Like, that's not nothing." And it's like, "It is when they can't trust each other. Like, Yuan Shu has an army of people who hate him. Let's just ask them to kill him." And so, and Lu Bu's like, "Listen, I mean, if you want to try, if you fail, I'm going to kill you. So this doesn't really hurt me in any way. Go for it." And so Chen Deng is released and goes to the camp. And meets Han Qian and is like, "Hey, how's it going?" And Han Qian's like, "Aren't you Lu Bu's man?" And Chen Deng's like, I serve the Han. How dare you call me Lu Bu's man? You used to serve the Han, but I see now you're just a little shit." And Han Qian sighs and is like, "Yeah, you know, I would love to serve the Han, but once a traitor, always a traitor." And he was like, but what if you weren't a traitor?" And he's like, "Hey, great idea." So they arrange to turn on Yuan Shu when the signal fire is lit. Lu Bu sends forth his armies, and that goes honestly fairly smoothly. Because Yuan Shu rides out, he takes the battle line, his armies turn on him, they're disorganized, they press the slaughter, as it were. And then Yuan Shu meets Lu Bu and is like, "Oh, you traitor! You know, Li Feng, my best commander, go!" And Lu Bu just immediately impales him. He's like, "Shit!" And then Lord Guan shows up, and Yuan Shu is officially like, "Okay, I'm fucking out. This sucks."
That's what you do when you see Lord Guan.
That's the correct response.
Yeah. while he's basically on the run, Yuan Shu is basically like, "Hey, Sansa, it'd be great if you just helped us out." And Sansa's like, "You still have my jade seal. You took my jade seal. I'm not giving you shit."
And then we get another classic, like, of him being like, "You, that little shithead, how dare he insult me? I'm gonna kill him first." And his advisors are like, "We would lose. Stop." We will also get a quick note of Chen Deng advising Lu Bu to spread his armies out, and or Chen Gui, excuse me, and Chen Deng, his son, is like, "Why did you not want him here to help us?" And Chen Gui is like, "Listen, if he's got armies near him, they'll help him out. We need to fuck over Lu Bu."
Yeah, and shortly after that happens, Xuanda actually ends up bringing both of those generals' heads to Cao Cao and is like, "Okay, so these two were plundering Lu Bu's town, so we arranged a banquet," as many of these scheming leaders tend to do. And it was very dramatic. I dropped my cup, and that gave Lord Guan and Zhang Fei the signal to cut both their heads off.
Yeah, and he's like, "I hope you'll forgive me, Cao Cao." And he's like, "Forgive you? I'm fucking psyched. That rules. Good work."
This is like an important Xuanda character moment, right? Because it's like the first time he has really done some ill shit for the greater good. Because he began this book and he's like, "You don't even whip that guy. Don't you dare, Zhang Fei. Do not whip that guy." And now he's out here doing the old banquet assassination, the classic trick. Because you gotta get your hands dirty to protect the realm.
You got to imagine that those two were like a banquet. He might as well just have sent us like a fucking death threat. He's like, no, it's Xuanda. It's like, "Oh, okay, you're right." So shame for them, I guess. And so everything's working out great. Cao Cao is marching south against Yuan Shu. Sun Tzu's holding down from south towards the north. Basically, everybody's like, "Hey, let's fuck over Yuan Shu because he says he's the guy, and here's what we have to say about that." Goes badly for Yuan Shu. That's kind of the quick version, is that he kind of gets fucked the fuck up.
Yes.
Meanwhile, during the siege of one of Yuan Shu's city, Cao Cao has some problems with rations. They run a little short on grain, and he talks to his granary officer, who's kind of panicking a little bit, and he's like, "Listen, it's okay, just feed them short rations." And the guy's like, "Well, what do we do if they complain?" And Cao Cao's like, "Don't worry, I've got a plan about that."
Oh, Curb Your Enthusiasm theme plays.
And he gives short rations, and Cao Cao goes around and he hears, you know, from the soldiers that people were like, "Oh, Cao Cao's fucking us over." Then he summons the granary officer again, and he's like, "Listen, I need to borrow something from you." He does say borrow. And he's like, "I hope you're not gonna be mad." And the officer's like, "What do I have that you'd care about?" And his house is like, "I would love to have your head." And the officer's like, "I didn't do anything." And Sasso's like, "I know. Listen, it's one of those things. I'll take care of your family. Listen, don't even worry about it." And he doesn't even let the guy like respond to that. Just immediately chops off his head.
Yeah, and then he mounts it on a post and puts a little sign under it being like, "Executed for delivering short rations and stealing from the granary."
Yeah, and Stroop's like, "Oh, great, Cao Cao's on the problem. You know, Cao Cao's always looking out for us." and so then he's like, "Okay, that bought us some time," and he summons his camp commanders, and he's like, "Listen, take over the city in 3 days, or I'm going to kill all of you." And that's sufficient motivation. They storm the capital, they burn a lot of things down, and yeah, they take care of it. And Cao Cao's like, we should keep chasing Yuan Shu. But then Xun Wenruo is like, "We don't want to push too hard. It's a scarce time for food, and it would really suck to run out of food again. We literally just had to kill a good person to pretend that they starved everyone. Let's just call it for now." And so he does that. But before he goes, he pulls Shwanda aside and he's like, listen, just, you know, just be a good friend to Lubu. A good friend, get it? keep in touch with Chen Gui and Chen Deng. They're also good friends. And Shwanda's like, oh, okay, got it. And so then Cao Cao goes back to the capital, and the two runaway generals who'd taken over the emperor before, Li Ju and Guo Xi, have been killed in the meantime by Duan Wei. And Cao Cao is you know, delighted and gives him, you know, a title.
Sounds like he does exactly what I did, which is, oh, right, those guys! Ah, they died. That's good.
Yeah. Plot thread, you know, resolved. Great. And so he's like, okay, great. Now we need to go take care of, like, one more rebellion that's going on, and we'll do it, you know, in honor to the throne. God bless the throne. And he goes out, and, you know, the emperor sees his army off in person. And he's walking, and the peasants are, you know, understandably like, well, it's harvest time, but if I go out in the field, the soldiers will probably just kill me, because that's what soldiers do. And Cao Cao puts out a letter, and he's like, listen, anybody who tramples your crops is gonna get killed. Don't worry about it, we will fucking fuck them up. Your crops are so important, we'll take care of it.
No exceptions to this. Not a single exception, he says. Not a single. The next day, he steps on some crops.
And he's like, all right, well, that's it. You got to kill me. No, and, you know, it's Cao Cao. He knows how this is going to go.
A wink.
Right. And they're like, listen, Confucius said that if you're really cool, you don't have to follow the law.
Yeah, the line here is, according to Confucius' Spring and Autumn Annals, the law shall not apply to those in the highest positions. God damn it, that's the real fuck up. Cao Cao brooded silently. Then he said, since the spring and autumn so specifies, we may waive the death penalty. Let this stand for my head. He cut off his hair with his sword and threw it down for all to see. So he symbolically assassinates himself by doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, his hair, like, I don't know if you've seen most depictions of Cao Cao, he had good hair.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is, like, a symbolically very important gesture. Like, people are not cutting their hair in this way. Like, you're not cutting your hair all the way off, right? Like,
right.
This is a big deal. I don't think that we're meant to read this as Cao Cao not being sincere at the start. I think he genuinely is about to, you know, cut his own throat.
I think it reads that way, but I just can't believe that from Cao Cao. I have to believe that he was counting on someone to be like, no, you're too important, my lord.
Cao Cao's interesting to me because he's like a weird mix of, he's not like Lubu's just complete self-motivation, but he is just a complete shithead. but literally the last page, he's like, we're going to frame this guy for shorting the troops, which is I did. And then they're mad at me for shorting the troops. Hooray! Murder him, please.
But he does also, I mean, he does promise to take care of his family, and he's like, sorry about this.
Like, he has some sense of, like, actual values, but they're not the values of, like, a good leader. I feel like the way Cao Cao has gone, I understand why the book begins with a proclamation that he would be a great leader in peacetime and tyrant in wartime, because, yo.
Yeah, because he has a sense of morals. It's just not the same as anyone else's. His are just weird. and it makes him a fascinating character.
He's, like, pragmatic to the point of... it's not just pragmatism, because there's a few pragmatists in this book, but he is just willing to change leading to the drop of the hat, but not in the Lu Bu way of serving someone else. So just go behind your back.
And so Zheng Zhu finds out that Cao Cao's coming, and he goes forth to meet him. This is, by the way, for folks from earlier, this is the guy whose uncle's wife was the whole concubine situation and was pretty mad about that.
Yes.
And he calls Cao Cao false in virtue, false in loyalty, a man of no shame, no integrity. Are you anything more than a beast?
Cao Cao's not happy about that one.
No, no. And it turns out that he's fucking Cao Cao, and he just fucks this guy up. So the guy runs back into the city.
Yep.
And he sort of starts building up a siege. And he's like, I can see what Sasa's up to here. We're gonna beat him with schemes of our own. And would CSU outsmart Cao Cao a second time? Read on.
the next chapter is called Jiju outwits the enemy and carries the day. So I'm gonna say, yeah, probably.
What's the second part of that chapter's name?
The second part of this chapter, this one right here. Yeah, okay. It is Zihao Dun plucks out and swallows his wounded eye.
Yup.
Bro. Bro. What? What the fuck?
You want to know? You want to know about that?
No, fucking not really.
Read on, motherfucker.
I don't really want to know about that. But here we go. Here we go. The first words of the chapter are GSU saw through Cao Cao's plan and prepared countermeasures. So Cao Cao is fucked.
Yep, and he's like, listen, Cao Cao spotted a weakness in the wall. And so let's just like have some troops hide.
we'll let him break in, and when he rushes in there, we'll just ambush him.
And so, yeah, they send, like, civilians dressed up as soldiers to their strongest point, leaving their weakness wide open. And Cao Cao's like, ah, they fell for my not trick. And he breaks in and just immediately gets fucked.
Yes.
He loses over 50,000 men over sneaking into this one corner of the wall. It's incredible.
And so he's forced out, and they're slowly falling back, and they reach the River Yu, and Cao Cao's like, oh, shit. And his followers are like, oh, no, God. Oh, God. What's wrong? He's like, no, this is where we lost Dian Wei. And he pulls a stop, and they do a sacrificial feast. He burns incense, and he's just sobbing. And his whole army's like, wow, what a good dude. And then he offers, you know, offerings for his nephew and his son and even his horse.
Oh yeah, those guys as well. I wasn't weeping for them. I was weeping for Dian Wei. But you can ask them.
You know,
as well.
I've got more incense while we're here. You know, listen.
Yeah, while we're stopped here, may as well.
it's what is the smoke him if you got him? Yeah, that one.
That's exactly what that means. It means burnt incense for your fallen family members if you have any left over when mourning Dian Wei.
So he's like, okay, we're gonna keep retreating. One of his advisors is like, oh, your retreat's being blocked, and he's like, oh, don't worry about it. I know, we'll meet him, we'll fuck him up, it'll be fine. And so he goes forward, and then he almost reaches the city, and then cuts a bunch of like strong points and places some ambushes. And so Liu Biao and Zhang Xue link up and go, and they see, like, oh, there aren't that many of Cao Cao's troops here. They must have run away. And they run in and they get ambushed. And they're like, oh, who could have expected so treacherous a trap from Cao Cao? He did an ambush. Like,
you just ambushed him. What did you expect? There's not much more to, there's difficulties. Nuances, obviously, as the length of this book shall express. But really, all you have to do is get the enemy's troops into a place where they don't know you are, and then jump them.
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they fall back, and they're like, well, we should try and push this in and attack again. Jiaxu, the ever-wise advisor, is like, listen, if you try, you're gonna fucking lose. But the other two generals are like, nah, we can't miss this opportunity. So they go forth, and they lose. And they go back, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, Jiaxu, we should have listened. We should have not pursued. And Jiaxu's like, you're damn right. Now go attack again. And like, what? We just got our asses kicked. He's like, don't worry about it. You're going to win this time. And he goes, and they win. And Liu Biao goes back and is like,
yo,
first time we
what? Excuse me? What happened there?
And Xie Zhu is like, oh, this is simple. Cao Cao is smarter than you. So when you tried to be smart, he beat you. But when you did something stupid, he didn't expect it. and they're both like, oh, Xie Zhu, you're so wise. and they take this win, and they're like, okay, let's stop for now. Cao Cao races to go head off Yuan Shao's invasion, because Yuan Shao is trying to take advantage of the moment.
It's all kicking off in China.
it's really popping. Yeah. And he like, they're almost there. They're going as fast as they can. And Sasso's like, he's almost here. What do I do? And Yuan Shao's like, hey, can I borrow some stuff? And Sasso's like, are you fucking... You marched your army so you could borrow shit? I was so fucking scared.
Yeah, he quickly figures out that, oh, it's because my shithead brother was guarding the capital while I was gone, so he probably thought that he could take over while I was away, but now that I'm here, it's like, oh, I'm glad you're here. I'd like some men, please.
I was just here for some sugar. Like, it's fine. I'm just checking in. Can I have some stuff? Anyway, I'll be going now.
Yeah. And he's like, I wish I could kick this guy's ass, but I don't know if we're strong enough. And Guojia's like, listen, there was a historic fight, founder of the Han versus his rival. They were hardly an even match, but superior intelligence managed to win the day. Now, let's talk about you versus Yuan Shao. Let's talk about pros and cons.
Can I just read this? Because it's a long one, but he goes through every pro and con in detail.
Please.
So he goes, consider. First, Yuan Shao governs with the profusion of rules and regulations. Your order is simple and not constraining. Thus, you excel in principles of government. Okay. Second, Yuan Shao acts without legitimacy. You lead with the imperial sanction. Thus, your cause is true and honorable. Doubt. The imperial sanction being the emperor that I have locked in the back room.
Well, he lets him out. Occasionally. He lets him take walks.
He does take walks.
It's more than literally anyone else in this book has ever done.
I guess Foucault leans in like, you don't need to be locked in a room to be locked in a room, fam.
Okay, very fair.
Third, since the reigns of Huan and Ling, the court's rule has suffered from laxity, and Yuan Shao too has the same habit. You require strict discipline. Thus, you excel in administration. Fourth, Yuan Shao is ostensibly tolerant, but inwardly envious and awards appointments mainly to his relatives. You are outwardly direct and inwardly understanding, and employ men according to their abilities. Thus, you excel in judgment. This one is mostly true.
That one's pretty much true. Yeah.
If there's one through line in this book, it is certainly that if you just, like, hire your friends and do not search for men of merit across the land, you're a fool.
Yeah, and Cao Cao is very, very willing to be like, that dude who just tried to kill me seems cool. Is he looking for a job?
Yep. Fifth. Yuan Shao makes many plans, but rarely a decision. You formulate a plan and act on it. That was a great one. That's a good quote, and that is fucking true about Yuan Shao. Thus, you excel in strategy. Sixth, Yuan Shao seeks only to enhance his reputation. You treat others with utter sincerity. Thus, you excel in morality. Again,
bullshit.
Doubt. Seventh, Yuan Shao is solicitous of those close to him, indifferent to those further away. You have all embracing concern. Thus, you excel in humanity. I think it's being a bit too generous to Sansa, but he does at least see the bigger picture.
That's true.
Eighth, Yuan Shao is often misled by petty slander. You are impervious to gossip. Thus, you excel in discretion. This is mostly true. I think Cao Cao's minorly pervious to gossip, but usually he's too busy getting everyone else to you know, he's spreading the gossip.
Yeah, and Yuan Shao's just a moron, so.
Yuan Shao's a moron, but he has the biggest army.
That's true, that's true.
Ninth, Yuan Shao does not distinguish right and wrong. You have rules and regulations that are strict and clear. Thus, you excel in civil administration. I guess we have to take this as its word, because this book's not really about civil administration. We have the one law he made saying that everyone who steps on a plant will get murdered, and the only person he did was him, and it didn't count. So, I'm going to doubt that. But I believe he's better than Yuan Shao at it.
Yeah, because Yuan Shao is the leader of the fucking covenant that didn't fucking do shit, so...
Yeah, no, Yuan Shao's useless. Get rid of him. Tenth, Yuan Shao is inclined to take empty stances, but is ignorant of the essentials of warfare. You have won battles, even when outnumbered, waging war with uncanny skill. Thus, you excel in arms. That is fucking true.
Yeah.
You will prevail over Yuan Shao. Yuan Shao, by virtue of these 10 points of excellence. And so Cell's like, I don't know about all that.
So are we giving him a 7 out of 10 here? Does that seem fair?
7 or 6, I think. But, that's not entirely a terrible summary of Cell's strengths.
No.
Yeah, and after all these bullet points are read out, they're like, okay, so with all this in mind, you probably shouldn't attack Yuan Shao right now.
here's an 11th point. Lu Bu's around.
Yeah.
Someone has to deal with Lu Bu because goddamn, y'all.
Yeah, if we give him an excuse to link up with someone to kick our ass, he will do that handily. So you might as well give Yuan Shao what he wants, support him in his war against Gongsun Zan, and everything will be good until we take care of Lu Bu.
Yeah. Meanwhile, down in Shuzhou, Lu Bu is having a great time because Chen Gui and Chen Dang are just like constantly being like, oh man, Lu Bu, I'm such a big fan, you're so cool, you're so great. And Chen Gong's like,
bro, they're playing you.
Yeah. Every time someone talks about how great you are, they're planning to fuck you over. That's just the history so far. And Lupu's like, oh, come on, they can't be that bad, they think I'm cool. And Chen Gang's like, okay. Or Chen Gong is like, okay, so basically we're fucked. Got it.
Yeah, it's another great moment in this book where you have an advisor thinking, should I run away or should I just twiddle my thumbs and watch what happens? And he chooses the latter in this regard.
He's like, I could look for a new job, but I don't think that if they called Lu Bu, he'd give me a recommendation.
I mean, to be fair, who's going to hire the guy that abandons their, like, you know, their lord, right? That's the thing.
Cao Cao.
Not necessarily. I think nakedly being like, well, we're losing, I'm running away, is a thing that is looked upon very badly.
That's true. I believe in Chen Gong's ability to, like, in the interview to be like, but it was Lu Bu. like, fair enough.
The people who have managed to switch sides and get out of this situation, right, have always had some kind of like play to make. Just straight up walking out, that will not do.
That's true. So anyway, one day, Chen Gong was just sort of taking a walk because he was depressed. He was like, listen, we're going to die, and that's a bummer. So I'm just going to fucking walk around, you know, just enjoy myself. And he sees a messenger just bolting down the road, and they chase him down. And he's like, what's the message? I'm curious. And he's like, listen. And Chen Gong's like, okay, search this boy. And finds a letter from Xuanda. And he's like, what is this? And he's like, listen, Cao Cao sent me to deliver a letter, and this is the response. It's a sealed letter, I don't know what it says. And so Lu Bu pops it open, and the letter is basically like, I hear you're ordered to kill Lu Bu, and it sounds sick. Let's do it.
So I'll do it, but I need some guys. I need some guys, and then we can take Lu Bu.
Mm. And Lubu's immediately like, how dare Cao Cao? And it's like, you know, Shwanda's in on this. Okay. Yeah, Cao Cao's the problem. You're right. And he sends a bunch of soldiers out to go, you know, try and take on Cao Cao, get ready for war. This is all reported to Shwanda, and Shwanda's like, okay, we gotta accelerate our timeline a little bit. And so, yeah, he you know, he starts assembling everything, and then as an army approaches, Shwanda climbs the tower, and he's like, listen, I don't have any beef with Lu Bu, why are you bringing your troops? And he's like, listen, we got the letter, you're wasting our time.
Amazingly, they are able to talk one person out of fighting them. There's a Shang Liao, and Lord Guan sees him as like, "What? Why are you doing this? You're so much more honorable than fighting this." And then Shang Liao just kind of hangs his head low and is like, "Oh, geez, you're right."
He's like, "Listen, you're cool. Why are you helping Lu Bu?" And Shang Liao, like, Charlie Brown's off the battlefield. and then Shang Fei is like, hey, he was running. Why didn't we kill him? And Lord Guan's like, listen, he's pretty strong. He only backed off because I made him feel bad. And Shang Fei's like, oh, okay, that's fair.
this is a classic Lord Guan move, right? Because Xuande would have 100% gone, it would be a true failure of our morality for us to kill a retreating general. And Lord Guan's like, oh, no, we probably are lost, mate.
this is a good time to remind everyone of M's take from the very first episode of the show. That Zhang Fei was a punk ass who'd pick a fight with someone in a grocery store. Zhang Fei is a little punchy. He's a little punchy. He's not maybe the hero of China.
Yo, I stole your horses! Sucker!
and I hit him around a bunch of different temples, like one of those Easter egg hunts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, they're at temples. You're not going to fuck with a temple unless it's a time of war and you're Lu Bu who doesn't care about anything, right? Anyway, so, you know, Cao Cao comes to help. The battle is set. And Xie Houdun is leading the charge. And he's fighting. He's just pressing his advantage. And then he gets shot in the eye with an arrow. bellowing in pain, Xie Houdun plucked out the arrow. The eyeball had stuck fast to the point. The essence of my parents cannot be thrown away, he cried, and swallowed the eye. Then he went for Cao Zeng and speared him in the face before he could defend himself.
Yeah, just plucks it right in there like an olive and it immediately spears the person who did it.
The spectacle left both sides aghast.
I'll fucking say!
I was in San Francisco this weekend, and I bought a Xie Houdun Tall Geese 3 kit before I'd read this. It was a very lucky purchase, as it turns out, because he's sick. He's both sick and also maybe kind of sick. Maybe he needs help. That's a real fucked up thing to do, my man.
Can't wait to see how they specifically do this bit.
I wonder if his eyes are removable.
I'm so mad. I have to wait until 2024 to watch the Rematch 3 Kingdoms Gundam show. 2024! 5 years!
Oh.
Man. So, he rides back. Cao Cao's army is defeated here. And they attempt to push their advantage, but Shwanda shows up. And, Shwanda is pretty outnumbered, but he's gonna try and stand his ground. What is Shwanda's fate going to be? Read on.
Read on.
Read on.
That is for next time.
Yeah. I do also another M point here that we have to bring up. M wanted us to note that Lubu is history's greatest fool. Nobody has ever run off in so many directions half cooked at the lightest flattery, which
it's fucking true.
Yeah, no, all you have to do is say you're a big fan of his work and he'll do whatever the fuck you want. It's pretty incredible. Man, those three kingdoms. So what? I don't know that our I was going to have our like what are the three kingdoms update, but I don't think that there's been a real shift.
There's still so many people in play.
Well, I mean, listen, I know it's going to take a while cuz these books are long, but like the only person from these chapters who would seem like a contender that we haven't already considered is Yuan Shu, and there's no fucking way he lives through this book. He's the fucking Walking Dead. He's that dude what they put in fucking Tekken. Like, he's done.
Nobody has ever said that Yuan Shu is like Negan before.
Well, that's why you come to us. We've got those original takes.
Yuan Shu chasing his enemies around with a spiked baseball bat.
His would be made of jade, though, because he's fancy. I'd be a jade baseball bat. That sounds cool. Anyway.
That is the reading for this week. The book is simply very good.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite sets of chapters we've read. This was so good. There's so many great schemes. There's so much of the characters being the characters, right? Like Lu Bu being as dumb as he possibly can be. Pretending that he doesn't like fighting was probably the best Lu Bu line of all time. As everyone knows, I love peace. Like, okay, bud. Cao Cao, you know, having very complicated motivations. Xuanda having a heel turn. It's very exciting times in ancient China.
It's very cool. Yeah, no, I'm liking it a lot. The book's great. I'm basically reading it for the second time now, which I'm glad I'm doing. It's smoothing a lot out, just seeing being able to see the structure of it. And understand where the book's coming from. Once I have finished Three Kingdoms, I will be reading some of the like ancillary lists that we've got to get some more context. I'm going to read the Analects next. That's going to be interesting and cool.
Cool. Extremely excited to have M back soon, hopefully.
Yeah, possibly next week, but you know. That's the plan, but I didn't want to...
Of course. Yeah, things can happen. All I know for sure is I've tried to step into the role of doing summaries, and I am not as good at it.
I mean, we trade off, but you're the summary person.
I got better. Last week was bad. Last week was rough.
You're setting us up short. I thought this was a good podcast.
Yeah. I think we do a good job, but I am very ready for the return of our friend.
So, indeed.
Yeah. Do you want to do some plugs and then just head off?
Sure. Jackson, on behalf of Abnormal Mapping, what have you got for us?
You can find me at headfallsoff on twitter.com. You can find M, who will be back soon, at em_being@twitter.com. You can find the podcast that we do at abnormalmapping.com, and you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/abnormalmapping, where if you subscribe for $1 a month, you get the Great Gundam Project, where we watch Gundam every week, and it's the podcast that we do that everyone seems to like the most. We are watching G Gundam right now. It's a good time. And that's that.
Yeah. I will note, I mean, you know, obviously Great Gundam Project is the thing that has really taken off, but like, you know, there are a lot of other really great shows on Abnormal Mapping. You should check out Never Say Podcast Again. You should check out, of course, the titular Abnormal Mapping. If you're willing to chip in a little bit, you should check out VoIP Life. VoIP Life is great. There's a lot of good stuff.
People seem to like it, but one, it's the podcast we get the most anxious about because it's just nothing. It's our like hangout bonus podcast, and we're like, oh, we can't do that. We have to have content. But people do seem to like it.
I mean, a lot of the episodes, at least recently, I am a relatively new listener to VoIP Life.
Fair enough.
But I really appreciate how much video game top X lists are terrible, and I'm glad that you exposed them.
Yes.
All right, Jen, kick it away.
So I'm at JBU3 on Twitter. Most of my stuff is on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. I also do a podcast called Novel Not New, which lives on the Abnormal Mapping Network. It's something I do with 6&M. And yeah, I think that's everything on my end.
All right. I'm 6DemR. You can find me on Twitter at 6DemR, SAXDETTMAR. I'm basically all the places that Jen is. And I just want to remind you folks, again, that there was a point where this podcast was going to be two podcasts. One for the first book, one for the second book. I can be terrible at planning sometimes.
You see why in that original Discord message we have, I was like...
Hysterically funny.
What? What? Like, I can try...
Oh boy. But well folks, until next time, don't eat your eye. Read on.
Read on.
Read on.